You're listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson. And as always, thanks for tuning in. We need help. That is the message from local clerks as we get closer to the August primary elections and the big November election here in Michigan in 2022. Local clerks and election workers are our front line for American democracy. And this year, the stakes are higher than they've been in a long time to make sure elections are safe, secure, and that they run seamlessly. A large bipartisan group of election administrators wrote an open letter last week to state leaders, and that letter urges them to get beyond partisan posturing and pass election reform bills before it's too late in the 2022 cycle. Here to talk about the challenges facing clerks and our election workers right now, as well as what they are asking for, are two local clerks who have a lot of work to do this year and have a lot to say about how our elections go. Barb Byram is the Ingham County clerk. Barb, welcome to Detroit Today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the invitation.
And Justin Roebuck is the clerk in Ottawa County. Justin, welcome to Detroit Today.
Thanks so much. It's good to be here.
So Justin, that line, "we need help," was something you wrote on Twitter recently. I'm not sure that most people who are planning to vote even this year in 2022 know about the challenges that local clerks are facing this year. So tell us what concerns you and what you need help with.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a very good point. I think a couple of the critical things that we really need help with are a result of the past couple of election cycles, right? Where in 2018, we had a sweeping change in our election law that was initiated by our voters and passed overwhelmingly by Michigan voters, basically expanding the ability that folks have to vote by mail, and also offered same-day registration for Michigan voters, which is a great convenience for our voters, both of those things. But they also put different strains on our election officials, particularly at the local clerk level, at the city and township level, but at the county level as well. And then obviously we had the 2020 cycle, which, in addition to pretty new changes from 2018, from Proposal 3 of 2018, we had a global pandemic. And then we also had, an unprecedented level of, misinformation and scrutiny following the 2020 cycle and kind of through the 2020 election cycle, which is just, it's very important that we maintain a high level of integrity in our elections and the security, but we need resources to do that. And we need an infrastructure to respond to those changes that our voters made that make it more convenient for voters. We also need that, the laws in place and the infrastructure in place to allow us to efficiently serve our voters. And time is running out.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say we're coming up pretty quickly on some of the deadlines for that. Barb Byram, what are you asking state leaders to give to local clerks?
Well, I think it's important to note that election administrators, there are over 1,500 of us, city, township, and county clerks. We are Republicans, we are Democrats, and some are nonpartisan. And together we have asked for more time to allow for pre-processing of absentee ballots. We have asked for more options for early voting for our voters. We've asked to allow for full transparency of the audits that are done on our elections. Our elections are audited, and many people don't know that, but they are audited, and we are asking that those be public meetings to allow for more transparency in that regard. And then as county clerks, we are asking for the opportunity to mark deceased voters as deceased a little bit earlier, because right now it's a local clerk function. And personally, Stephen, I'm asking all elected officials to stand up and tell their followers, their grassroots supporters, that our elections are safe, secure, and accurate. And I really need those elected officials to stand up and tell their followers that the elections are safe, secure, and the results are accurate, rather than feed into the election conspiracies and the big lie.
Yeah. So the thing I want to kind of pause here to point out is that, Barb, you're a Democrat, and Justin, you're a Republican. Barb, you were just talking about the fact that this is not a partisan issue, and it shouldn't be a partisan issue. And you've got clerks on both sides saying, hey, we need a lot of help. So one of the questions, I think, is why haven't lawmakers acted? What's holding this up if it's not partisan politics?
Well, election administrators have been the frontline defenders of democracy for over 200 years. And as election administrators, regardless of if we are partisanly elected or not, we know what changes need to be done with election administration to increase our security and to make sure that our elections are even more secure. It is unfortunate that partisan politics has played in. I certainly blame the former president for that. But election officials, regardless if we are Democrats or Republicans, we agree that election administration is not a partisan issue. We have a job to do, and we have integrity, and we work hard to make sure our elections remain safe and secure. So it's not a partisan issue. It becomes partisan when the legislature gets involved and fails to support the professional election administrators, but rather concedes to the whim and to the conspiracy beliefs of their grassroots supporters. Mm.
Justin, I want to have you address this as well, and not to put you on the spot here. But a lot of the attacks on the integrity of our elections, a lot of the doubt being cast on the security of our elections is coming from your side of the aisle. I wonder what you make of the bipartisan effort here to try to get some of these things passed, but then the resistance, I guess, in Lansing and where it comes from.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't think it's any doubt, as you said. You know, my political party, the Republican Party, has seen, you know, a resurgence of, concern over election security and the integrity of the election process. And there's a challenge right now within the Republican Party between two factions, one that believes that the election was actually held fairly and the results are accurate, and the another faction that actually does not believe that. This is not a new phenomenon, and it's not just a subject of the Republican Party. I mean, we obviously had a recount statewide in the 2016 election because, you know, certain groups and parties and many on the other side of the aisle from me happen to not believe the accuracy of Donald Trump winning the 2016 election. And so I think this goes back and forth, and it goes to show that, you know, election reform and election change is unfortunately sometimes a political football, particularly in major election years. And I think we have to get beyond that because there are some real challenges that need to be addressed. And, you know, quite frankly, we had a number of very what I would call low-hanging fruit, common sense type of things that were passed by the legislature that the governor vetoed. Training for election challengers, a requirement for the training. And one thing that Clerk Byram had mentioned, the ability for county clerks to remove deceased voters from the voter file and essentially get a head start on that process to ensure accuracy in our voter rolls. That was vetoed by the governor. And, you know, so both sides play a role in the culpability here. And I think what we're asking for is just leadership and the ability to work together across some very common sense reforms. We're not asking for, fundamental changes that will, you know, sway the vote from one party to another. We're asking for things that will give us resources and allow our voters the ability to trust the process more. And I think that's really critical as well as we move into this big year, another election year on the horizon. We need to be able to do the things that will engender trust from our voters.
We do want to get you going on the phones, though. Give us a call and tell us how confident you are in our ability to hold safe and secure elections here in Michigan amid all of the challenges that face local elections administrators. What are some of the ways you think we could do a better job of running our elections? And what have you been seeing in your community and at your local polling places in recent years? Are things running well where you are? And if not, what kind of support do you think local election workers need to do better? As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to the WDET Facebook page and put comments there, or go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we'll work you into the conversation. Also, give us a call and let us know how worried you are about the sanctity of our democratic process. Are you bothered by some of the things that you hear people saying about voting and how it goes? Or are you someone who's concerned that we have real problems with our democracy and you want to see people doing more to make it better? Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. I want to talk just a little about your staffs, Justin and Barb. We've seen local clerks and other election workers leave their jobs in the last couple of years because of harassment and threats. I wonder if you're still seeing that kind of behavior and what impact that has on our ability to run elections here here in Michigan. Justin, I'll start with you this time.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been a very challenging process for a lot of us on this level of election administration. And certainly a lot of my local clerks at the city and township level, you know, have taken this opportunity to, you know, either retire or move on to different opportunities. And we're seeing that across the state. I would say that probably a good 25% of my staff's time on the election side of our office is still occupied on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, mm-hmm. with addressing concerns of 2020. And it's kind of remarkable because we're obviously, a year and a half past that point where we are clearly, I mean, we've not only held other elections, small local elections, right, special elections, but we're moving into a period where we are well underway for planning for the 2022 cycle. And yet there is still a good percentage of our time is dealing with some very legitimate concerns from people who are just genuinely trying to understand the mm-hmm. process. And then another faction of folks who I think it's a little bit more of a, I don't want to say malicious, but maybe malicious intent, right, to request all sorts of documents under the Freedom of Information Act, which is certainly available to everyone in the public, and we want that to be transparent, but it also takes time and it takes resources. So I think we are seeing a strain, you know, in election administration that we have not seen in a very long time, particularly, you know, over my career. I've never seen anything quite like this. But, you know, funding hasn't increased right. from most local entities and certainly from the state in terms of resources, staff and administrative resources. That has not increased for us. So, again, we need help.
Yeah, yeah. Barb, I wonder what this looks like in your office there in Lansing. Of course, we've seen some other things take place in Lansing at the Capitol with regard to people angry about the process, feeling like they don't have enough of a voice. I wonder if the clerk's office there is experiencing some of the same things.
You know, we are, and I would be remiss if I didn't point out that the number of Michigan election officials who received vile voicemail messages, threats, threats to their family, threats to their pets, and downright bullying as a result of the misinformation that has been believed And as a result, people are just threatening election administrators in Michigan. This is certainly happening around the United States, but it is happening in Michigan. Criminal charges have been filed against some of these individuals, and this does not help the profession, and it certainly does not help make our elections any more safe or secure, because what is happening is now election administrators are deciding that they're ready for a career change or an early retirement as a result of this harassment and these threats. And these individual positions are often being replaced by the same individuals who believe in the conspiracies. And now we're seeing the Secretary of State having to come in and say, no, as an election administrator, you must do a public accuracy testing. You must do that. This is election administration 101. And it is eroding the trust in our election process, but certainly it's eroding our democracy.
Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. Let's go to Krista in Addison Township. Krista, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Oh, just peachy keen. I wanted to say that all these people that are screaming election fraud, they seem to be mostly Republicans screaming election fraud. Virtually every instance that I've heard of fraud have been done by Republicans. So it's like the GOP is screaming at the GOP for being fraudulent.
Yeah, Krista, there is some irony there, no question. And I'm glad you called and pointed that out to Justin Roebuck. I'll give you the first crack, since you are a Republican, at talking about that, but also talk about fraud and how rare it is. I think that's an important point in this conversation, is that it is not something that's happening to the extent that we are hearing from some people about it.
Yeah, I think it's very important to note that actual election fraud, which is, you know, trying to change an outcome of an election, by virtue of doing various illegal things, right? Mm-hmm. Whether that's trying to impersonate a voter, walking into a precinct and vote for someone else, whether that's filling out someone's absentee ballot and trying to, you know, cast a ballot through the mail for someone else, or whether that's one of the more, you know, grander schemes that have been alleged in some of these theories of where, you know, foreign nations are manipulating vote totals or, you know, changing algorithms on election devices, which is just simply not accurate and not true. Yeah. I think it's important to point out election fraud exists. And I am not here saying we have a perfect system. In fact, we don't. One of the reasons why it's important for us to have some of this legislation passed is because we recognize the fact that we're not perfect as election administrators. This is a human process. Some of the things that we need to reform and change will contribute to a better and more secure process. But I think, as you pointed out, election fraud is extremely rare. It is, frankly, a risk that is not worth the reward. Mm. You know, when you think about committing a felony to impersonate another voter and potentially change one vote in a process. Every vote matters, definitely. That's why it's a felony to do something like that. But voter fraud has been proven time and time and time again to be very, very rare. And we investigate every instance of voter fraud that is brought to our attention. You know, I am in the process right now in my county of, you know, working with law enforcement to pursue two instances. And the reality is, you know, in the 2020 cycle, we had in my county, almost 170,000 people cast a ballot. Mm-hmm. But we take those two instances seriously. So I think it's very important to note that we're not perfect. That is why some of these requested items, you know, are in front of the legislature and the governor, and we need the support of all of our statewide leaders to improve our process.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Barb Byram and Justin Roebuck. Great to have both of you here to talk about what you need from legislators this year as we prepare to get to the polls in 2022. Thanks so much for joining us on Detroit Today.
Thank you very much for having us.
It's great to be here. Thanks so much.
That's going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow when we're going to talk about the new report from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Talk about what it means for policymakers and our collective futures. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.